Blog Talk Radio. hey, Dawn, I see you. I see you. Oh, my goodness. I want to wish love and light and happiness and joy to everyone and every entity within the sound of my voice. Welcome, welcome, bienvenue, bienvenidos. Welcome to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. This is your host with the most, Queen Amina. And baby, tonight we going in. I know you're like, again? Yeah, yeah. What's the point in having a show if I can't? So let's go. Let's delve in real quick. Again, I want to say peace to the family. Happy birthday to all the Geminis. Happy birthday to my brother Josh Milan, my brother Louis Vega, my brother-in-law Tony, my producer Lionel Sanchez Jr. Happy birthday to all the Geminis. And whoever I may have forgotten, just attest it to my mind and not my heart. Today is Monday, June 14th. We are a few days away from Big Daddy Day, which I call Father's Day. You know, it was Father's Day, I call it Big Daddy Day. But salute to all the fathers, the real daddies, the real kings out there who are raising their children, loving their spouses, protecting the Black woman and family, and are building so that we can create a better life and planet Earth for all. Super shout out to the real fathers. And on that note, I will add Ibaye and blessings, love, and light to my father, Courtney Eugene Hassell, who has transcended many years ago, but he's with me every day, all day, every day. And he taught me what a real man was supposed to exemplify and resonate as and be. So I give thanks to my father. I know he's with my mom in the ancestral realm, watching over my sister and I and our entire family. And I just give thanks because I know if I didn't have a real father to show me what men are supposed to be like and how real men are supposed to behave, I probably wouldn't be in the blessed situation that I am with my super divine king, Honey Lish. And I'm going to give a shout out to him as well because he's a super dad and he holds his children down and makes sure that they're always all right. So again, super shout out to all the amazing fathers that are really holding it down, all the real daddies, all the big daddies in the world that are living righteously and teaching their offspring the same, okay? Big shout out. One love, one love, one love. Okay, so interestingly enough, I've dealt with some interesting health issues over the last few weeks. Nothing overly major, but just interesting because I know that we're moving, you know, more so into and through the age of Aquarius. And so as the Earth spins and changes and moves through the galaxy, many things happen to Earthlings. And those of us who resonate from a higher level of being, I'm sure it probably affects regular folk too, but you're not listening to a regular person. So, you know, I've embraced the challenges and I've done my best to, you know, ride above them and rise above them and deal with them accordingly. But it's just been interesting because I know it's par for the course. And as we just had a solar eclipse, we just had a new moon, we've had a lot of things happen on an astrological level, and those things will always affect us as human beings, some of us more than others. So, you know, again, I'm an Aries sun and moon. I'm a Virgo rising. There's a lot to my chart. I'm a very powerful entity. I've known this for a very long time. That's why I always encourage the family to get your birth chart and to, you know, stay on point with where you are with your houses and other astrological points that are happening in our lives every single day. So I do not want us to remain ignorant of these additional forces of information that we can utilize so that we can move through our lives with greater ease, if you will, and purpose and intent, because we're connected to the planets, okay? We're made up of star stuff. We are a very special amalgamation of properties and energies and elements, and I think that we just get away from that. And I know that the quote-unquote nasty powers that be, the controllers, the machine, they don't want you to utilize or realize or actualize your true self, but they really can't stop the shine, if you will. Like I said, I always give a super shout-out to Sister Ty Phoenix. She's not just a dope rapper and a pretty face, but she is a highly intellectual, astrological genius. She's a master astrologist, and if you have the opportunity to please look her up, she's on Instagram as Ty Phoenix, T-I-Y-E, Phoenix like the bird, or Arizona. And she has another page on IGTV called Smart Chart, or Stay Smart Chart, I believe. Stay Chart Smart, excuse me. So, but she's a genius. The sister is awesome. And so she definitely helps to explain to the family what's happening to all of us on an energetic level as well as an astrological level. I think that this is really key, okay? So while I wasn't feeling very well, you know, when you don't feel well, you may not really eat that much. And so fasting and not eating can also open up internal portals within your mind because you're not really flooding your body with the chemicals that the food has in it. So when you do fast, you can experience higher enlightened or more enlightenment, I should just say, okay? So my dreams were very, very vivid and very, very action-packed, and I would receive downloads and uploads and information from the cosmos that would lead me when I was conscious to lead me to different parts of information that I could then utilize, not just for this particular program, but of course in my everyday life and work and in my private conversations and private counseling with other individuals. It's very deep that, you know, we've been experiencing some really interesting times. I need you all to realize that these times have been very well orchestrated, even though they're orchestrated by a negative faction of individuals, but still in all, it's orchestrated, okay? So you know I talked about the Rona pandemic, you know, we're in the midst of that. I've always, you know, talked about the links between the Rona pandemic and 5 George. 5 George is really, really popping, and I think you need to realize that while most of us were, I know I wasn't, but a lot of us were under quarantine and just staying in the house and being scared to death watching the news puppet show, you know, they launched so many satellites into space that are beaming 5 George back to the planet. So now it's not even so much that, you know, you could have exposure because you're living near a 5 George tower. 5 George is being beamed to the planet. So I want to just express that to the family. I'm not trying to say you can't run from it or you can't get away from it, but I need you to realize how important it is for you to eat more plant-based, okay? Eat more green salads. Cut down on your meat consumption. Lord knows, I told you before that the beef industry and pork and poultry and what have you are getting more and more poisonous every day. I did have some chicken today, yes I did, but I had one of the largest spring green salads ever to just try to like combat and kill whatever's negative in the daggone chicken. If you're just eating meats and starches and you're not eating vegetables, not only are you not allowing your brain to stay clean so that you can think properly, hello, good morning, but you're going to further toxify yourself if you're not able to cleanse and get rid of that in a healthy way, whether it's through a bowel movement, you know, or, you know, urination, et cetera, sweating, all these types of things. You know, we have several ways to excrete, and one of the biggest ways is through carbon dioxide and exhalation. you know, that is an actual form of excretion when we breathe out. So, again, all the maskaliciousness and everybody wanting to be all masky-masky, I keep telling you, you're just going to make yourself sicker and sicker. So now, you know, we realize that, poof, oh, everything is wonderful now. You don't have to wear a mask anymore, really. Oh, that's just great. You didn't have to wear one before. And that was an exercise in human behavior, groupthink, and how to monopolize the public and get them to do what you want them to do and see if they are doing it. So although a lot of us had to try our best to obey, especially if we wanted to go to the supermarket to buy the vegetables, you better believe I wasn't wearing nobody's mask out in the street or outside, period, because you're outside. So I know I reiterated that a lot, but I feel like I can't say it enough because I see how many people either failed science, cut science class, or didn't give a ding-dang golly-wally about science and didn't realize that when you breathe out, you're actually excreting toxins from your body. Yeah, okay. So moving forward, I had some serious dreams. I'm not going to go into them on the show, but I will say that they were quite revealing and so, so real. I told you before, I dream in color. I dream in 3D. I can do many things in my dreams. I'm a superhero in my dreams and in reality. But in my dreams, I can fly and I can, like, jump, you know, 2,000 feet and all these kinds of things in my dreams. So I had some powerful, powerful dreams. And what I can surmise them into saying, they're like warnings, if in a way. You know, I know that things are talking to me. The universe speaks to us, I told you, in numbers and sounds and pictures and images and different tones and different feelings. The universe speaks quite, quite loudly, but if you do not know how to hear it, you will miss it. So I pay attention to the things that just pop into my consciousness, whether it's a song or it's a particular commercial or I'm watching a movie program, which I don't watch a lot of movies, but if I do, you know, they're pretty interesting. There's this new Netflix series called Sweet Tooth about a virus outbreak that had babies being born as hybrid humans, hybrid animals. Okay? That was very interesting. I already know that they have been trying to crossbreed human DNA with animal DNA for a very long time. In some, you know, many instances, they've been very successful. Not that these particular entities live for a very long time, but they're able to create them, you know, and what have you. So it's not that far-fetched. And a lot of stuff that we're seeing is really not that far-fetched. But what I'm really seeing and what I'm going to go in on tonight is the war between good and evil. And so that's why I named tonight's episode Angels and Demons. And it's not the angels and demons of Dan Brown's novel, even though there's a piece of it in here because I will be talking about the CERN Institute of Technology. But just how even in biblical times, and I got this from a really dope brother on Instagram, even in biblical times when people would go mad and wild out, they didn't necessarily call it, like, psychology. They said that the person had a demon. They said that the person was possessed, if you will, and that that's why their behavior was just so off the meat rack. Now, if you're paying attention and you're seeing certain things, I remember I think it was 2 years ago in California, there was some naked white boy running through the streets, and he had jumped through this woman's sunroof while she was sitting at a traffic light. And he was butt naked, and he jumped into her sunroof and began to try to eat her face and eat her body, literally. This was just a couple of years ago. People are reacting from something that is altering their mind state and thereby leading them to behave and or communicate in ways that would appear to be grossly demonic. Okay, so we know that there's light and we know that there's darkness. We know, as I mentioned last week, that everything comes from darkness. It doesn't come from demonic forces. The darkness is just the origin of creation, the beginning of things. But we live in a very multidimensional world. And so we exist on planet Earth in a three-dimensional reality, primarily because we are the third planet from the sun. Our consciousness is growing into the fifth dimension, which is akin to the age of Aquarius. However, it makes it sound pretty and sunny and people are passing daisies around, but in all honesty, we're going to experience a lot more of a tumultuous and uncomfortable or maybe negative paradigm before we get to that beautiful day of joy and happiness and flowers. So, because the demons are squirming. The demons can't make the cut. The demons are low-dimensional entities. They're first and second and low third-dimensional entities. So, you know, there's no such thing as a high-dimensional demon. Okay? Demons and negative forces come from lower-dimensional forces. Okay? So the angelic realm, if you will, or the enlightened realm of higher entities, which we do have, and they live on different star systems not that far from us. Some of them are from Lyra. Some of them are from Vega. Some of them are Iesu. We have different star systems that are surrounding us in our universe and in our galaxy that have higher life forms, okay? Even Orion is interesting. I'm just going to say that. But it's nearby. Hi. So we've got to open up our consciousness and stop thinking and feeling and believing, which is the word believe, to lie to the children of Eve, that it's just us. There's no other entities in space. Humans are little lowly humans. You know, the machine would want you to believe that you're just like a lump of clay or a lump of flesh with no real consciousness. You can't really do anything. You know, you're powerless, you're worthless unless you have money and material gain, and all that is hoopla and straight BS. You know, they want us to think and really believe that you only have one lifetime and then that's it. And then after you go and you pass, then you're just dead to the universe forever. And all these things can't be further from the truth. We are also multidimensional entities. As human beings, we are amazing, okay? Amazing. And those of us who continue to attach ourselves to love and light and peace and harmony and joy and goodness, we will continue to create more of a cyclical rhythm of upliftment. We will continue to evolve and enlighten ourselves. We will continue to rise higher, if you will, into greater levels of consciousness and frequency. And I talk about frequency a lot because we're electric beings. You know, I've gone into this on other programs in the past on this network with the Black Alice Wonderland radio show. And we're more powerful than we could ever realize. And so the machine is constantly trying to ding you in the head to make you believe and feel otherwise. And that's what's dangerous because, again, I told you before, one melanated human body can power an entire city. That's how much atomic energy exists in one human body. I will take you to sex real quick because y'all get that. When you have an orgasm and your brain is really, your whole body is just like, boom, like everything is just, you can't function. There's no way you're going to be able to concentrate that well. There's a lot happening within the process of having an orgasm, male and female. And so those are heightened levels of consciousness. Those are gateways, if you will. And I've talked to you before about using your orgasm properly, using your orgasm to emit love and light and joy into the universe and to place love on the planet and to wrap this planet in love, because the demonic forces are working overtime, overtime, fam. You want to talk about turn up and pumping? Baby, There's so much happening. So, again, I rewind. I know you're looking at the news on occasion. I mean, I watch it too, not as much as I used to because I really don't want to cloud my consciousness with a whole lot of garbage and BS. But the people who have been walling out on the airplanes, that's interesting for me. That's interesting because I've been flying on planes all over this planet all of my life. I have never, I'm going to say it again, never experienced a flight, intercontinental or international, that had people unruly, fighting, cursing, jumping over seats, punching flight attendants in the mouth, busting teeth out, pulling hair, spitting on each other. I have never experienced that in all of my days of flying. I've been flying since I was 5. Okay? I'm old. I'm over 50 at this point. So I've been flying since I was 5, and I've never seen an incident on a plane with violence that we're seeing today. So I'm like, what is making that happen? And everybody's like, oh, people were stir crazy. Everybody couldn't wait. Let me tell you something. Stir crazy or not, if you're ready to go out and you want to fly and you want to go somewhere and take a trip and have a good time, what are you so uptight about? Who are you fighting? Why are we walking out and punching flight attendants in the teeth? What the hell are you doing? That doesn't have anything to do with being cooped up in the house and feeling stir crazy. No, that's an alternate frequency that is entering into these people's brains and consciousness, allowing them to behave like beasts. That is what that is. I have no other way to really express it except for that, because I'm telling you, we've been at war with different countries for eons. We've had heads of state and leaders murdered and killed. We've had disease and virus before. We've had all kind of stuff before. But what we haven't ever had before, family, is 5 George. We've never had 5 George before. All right, so let me do this real quick. I'm going to ring the bell so y'all really understand that school is in session tonight. Baby, what makes a person get into a fight or kill someone they don't even know? I always used to say, I can't ever allow a total stranger to turn me inside out and upside down over a disagreement if you cut me off on the highway. Even if you want to get in front of me online in a store, I'm still going to actualize to you, excuse me. Now, if you cut me off on the road, I really don't care because I'm still going to get where I have to go. So I don't need to chase you down and have a fight with you and stab you to death or shoot you, which I'm also hearing about happening all too often. I don't need to do that. All right, go ahead then. Maybe you got to go to the bathroom and you just need to cut me off so you can get where you got to go because you have to relieve yourself. I don't really know. Maybe you're catching a flight. Maybe somebody in the car is about to give birth. I don't know. I really don't care because it's not my business. But at the same time, it will not make me resort to losing my state of consciousness, lowering it, and then speeding up to you and giving you the finger or trying to chase you down or battle ram your car. None of that comes into my consciousness when I get cut off on the highway. Hello? I'm going to let a fool be a fool. Okay, and I'll see you when you either get a ticket. That happens to Honey Lish and I sometimes. We'll be on the highway going on a long adventure. People just go, flying by, and then what? A few miles later, we see them pulled over by the cops. So go ahead with yourself. But I don't need to resort to violence or anything or feel that you betrayed me or you did something to me because you got in front of me on the highway or on the street. That's the most insane crap I've heard as well. Anyway, so couple that with people getting into mask fights and things and what all types of disagreements and just wild behavior. People getting stabbed over parking spaces and shoveling snow or not. I mean, it's out of control. And so I know that a lot of this has to do with 5 George. Okay? Now, again, I reiterated that when we're talking about the Rona pandemic and the Tenderoni shot, we are talking about a new level of technology that will literally lead to the gross demise of humanity on this planet. These entities know this. These individuals that have conspired and gotten together to make this happen, they're very, very, very well aware of this. This is their agenda. So we got to be careful, all right? And so it gets really deep. So come with me this evening on a little ride, because some of this I got while I was unconscious and I'm sleeping, and a lot of this I got while I was conscious and watching television commercials and different things that are coming on. Even your television commercials, man, they are so demonic and full of pedophilia. Y'all blind. You're not paying attention. And I'm not even just talking about the main protagonist of the commercial. What's going on in the background? What's happening in the background of the scenes on the commercials? Because the background definitely, sometimes if you know, and one thing about now, you got TiVo, so you can pause television, you can rewind television and what have you. And, of course, you'll see it all again, including the commercials. Yo, go back and check out some of those commercials and look in the foreground. Don't look up in the front. Look in the background. And what are they doing? Parents, I'm also going to advise you to please be aware of Walt Disney, the trickery, and also a lot of the, I'll just say, demonic and pedophilia-based programming in children's cartoons and program. Please, please, please pay attention, y'all. Pay attention. That's why I always talk about throw your TV out the window. Burn it if you want to. Like, I don't watch TV a lot because I know it's getting worse. I don't even want these things planted in my subconscious. And because television commercials are moving at a very high rate of imagery. We talked about this before. You know, you're watching television and it's image, 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 image. Yes, someone's talking or whatever, but then there's all these little flashes. Within those flashes are information. Within those flashes are words sometimes. Within those flashes are imagery and shapes and things that you're not necessarily picking up with your first eye, but your third eye is definitely picking it up. All right, so that's why I talked about Walt Disney, because Walt Disney has more overly suggestive sexual connotations than most of us would ever want to understand. There are more penises, the word sex is in clouds and fireballs, breasts, vaginas, all kind of things are just right in your face. But you're not really looking at that because you're like, oh, look at the colors and look at the little costume and his big mustache or look at that, all of that. But the subliminal up in that bad boy, oh, my gosh. And then people wonder why their children seem to be overly sexualized even though they feel that they didn't, you know, expose them to anything sexual. I have friends that are like, I don't know where he got that from. I don't know where she got that from. They got it from watching the Disney Network. Hello? You know, Dave Chappelle had an early stand-up. I saw it the other day. Something else that came into my consciousness just on the down low. And I was like, wow. He was on, I think, Def Comedy Jam back in the day, okay? And he was talking about how he was excited about watching Looney Tunes with his nephew, his younger nephew. And Pepe Le Pew came on. And all of a sudden, as an adult, he was noticing the lecherous, overly sexually behavior of Pepe Le Pew and how he was not only lecherous and overly sexual, but he was attacking an animal that wasn't even his own species. Can we talk about that real quick? Think about it. Pepe Le Pew was a skunk, all right, a big, muscular, funky skunk. He would always fall in love with a cat. He would always fall in love with a female feline, right? He never, ever met another female. I think maybe one or two episodes he might have met another female skunk, but most of the time it was a black and white cat that he fell in love with, and he would just fawn all over her and touch her and molest her and kiss her and just all kind of stuff that we would never really deem okay if we were adults. So I was like, oh, snap, because it was so real, you know. And even Bugs Bunny, was Bugs Bunny a transvestite? Was Bugs Bunny heterosexual? Was Bugs Bunny bisexual? He always wore women's dresses. He would put on women's clothes in a minute and allow himself to be kissed and kiss men. Can we talk about that real quick? Now, yeah, we were little kids and we were laughing and like, oh, it's so funny, ha, 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 ha. But in an adult mind and watching it as an adult, you're like, holy crap. Like Foghorn Leghorn was like a lazy pimp. He ain't want to work. Winter would come and he would want to shack up with a hen because he ain't want to work. Can we just look at all these little things? Because when we were young, it was just funny. I used to love Foghorn Leghorn because his accent was hilarious to me. I never realized that Foghorn Leghorn was like a lazy, good-for-nothing man. Think about it. Yosemite Sam never had a female partner, really. I think one time he tried to go after the rich woman because she had money. It was never about love. And then he would always say, what in tarnation? Did y'all know tarnation has to do with black people? Just saying. So guard your children. And if anything, like I keep saying, because it's so beautiful outside these days, even though it's getting a little more stormy, but still, the weather is definitely amping itself up. But on a sunny, beautiful day, go outside. Take the children outside. They shouldn't be sitting at home like bumps on logs watching demonic Disney all day and playing these horrible video games that give so much neuralistic programming that they can go up to become a serial killer in 5 minutes. You don't even realize how much you're poisoning your children when you have them playing these games and watching these shows all day. Nickelodeon ain't cute. Nickelodeon isn't really for children. Nickelodeon is neuro-linguistic programming. And you wonder why you see white children slapping the hell out of their parents by the time they're 14 talking about, I hate you. You can't even pay rent. Who are you hating? Yeah, collecting Social Security. You don't have a job. What are you talking about? You hate somebody. How dare you be so disrespectful? And because the machine has made it difficult for you to discipline your children in the proper way, unless you really know how to get a hold on them, hello. You're afraid of hurting them or hitting them to let them really feel where you're coming from. Again, I give thanks to my mama and daddy for giving my sister and myself spankings when we were out of line. And I encourage the family not to beat up on your children. Of course not. But I do follow some parts of the Bible, and I'm like, you spare the rod and you spoil the child. If you do not let your child know that you are in charge and that you run this household and that they don't, they will run over you. They will continue to test you and find ways to try to get control over you because they're reincarnated souls anyway, so they know they got power. But it's up to the parent to teach the child to hone the power and wait until they are an adult in order to execute certain behaviors and ways. And even with that, that they should remain righteous. So there's a lot going on, all right? So follow me. Just follow me. Follow me. Follow me for a minute, okay? So I talked about this before, how energy is everything because everything is energy. I'm not joking. Even me, even you, even the computer I'm speaking through, the phone I'm on, all these things are energy. We're talking about particles, amalgamations of particles, clusters, clumps, all these things. We've got subatomic energy and nanoparticles and quarks and all these things, all the way up to matter and large, humongous things that we can see with our naked eye. But don't forget, even that which you cannot see with your naked eye is still existing, just like 5 George. So things have a way of altering your perception, reality, and behavior through radio frequency. And they've been beaming us up and blowing us up with beams and radiation for quite some time. I talked about this before with radioactive energy, radio waves, television waves, microwaves, all these different vibrations that come in through the corporal body. They come through you. Your bones are porous, okay, which is why I always emphasize to the sisters, stop perming your hair. Okay, you are damaging your skull cap and affecting your brain process. Stop perming your hair. And now we got men who want to be women perming their hair. Stop perming your hair. Everybody, stop it. If you want to straighten it, use a straightening comb. Okay, but even then you're deadening your follicle. Your follicle is an antenna. Why would you want to dead your antenna? You need that reception in the world. You want to be able to pick up the right energy. So be careful with that. But a lot of what I experienced in the past couple of weeks, consciously, unconsciously, subconsciously, and supraconsciously, have led me to this. I'm going back to the CERN Institute, okay? You know, y'all, that it sits up in Switzerland, and it's got the whole particle collider, the Hadron Collider, where they're able to smash matter and antimatter together to recreate the Big Bang, because Lord knows these asses, pardon my expression, I told Honey Lish I wasn't going to cuss tonight, idiots are constantly on this quest to become God. I personally believe that some of these scientists are, they're led in this direction because they think that they're doing something that's good, but they're really not. And I know a lot of scientists have good intentions, but you do have some evil scientists out here. And so the CERN Institute is very deep because it has the potential to open lower portals and lower dimensions. Now, within these lower dimensions, as I mentioned a little while ago, lower entities slash demons can come through quite easily. If you have a portal and you're opening up that portal to the first and or second dimension, that's where demons reside. So they can come through. And I'm not trying to sound, ooh, spooky and like a movie. I'm being dead honest with you, okay? Catholic priests know this, which is why the exorcists and exorcisms are alive and well, darling. Okay? People who maintain low vibrational frequencies are easy to get into. It's easy for demons to get into low entity, low frequency having entities. Let that marinate. So I'm realizing that I know this happened because I think it was around 2016 that there was a high-ranking general that was a part of a demonstration that went over to CERN in Switzerland because they wanted to show him what they could do, la, la, la. And they activated the Hadron Collider, and they had the antimatter smash into the matter. But then smoke began to develop, and out of the smoke, a portal opened, and out of the portal came lower-dimensional entities, i.e. demons. It scared the living crap out of this general. I'm not saying his name on purpose. I need him to maintain his anonymity, but really it scared him to pieces. And so if they opened a portal in 2016 and it's 2020 now and people are acting like beasts and craziness, perhaps, hello, these things got loose. Now, I always made jokes and talk about how Frankenstein was loosed and, you know, the beast is loosed, and it's loosed. It's out. So again, protect your neck. Be careful. Be careful what you allow into yourself. I'm so serious about it. And be careful what you allow yourself to be, quote, entertained by. Entertained. Think about that. The etymology in English language, which we did talk about last week, and I talk about it from time to time, is the worst. The English language is the most demonic language of all languages. Okay, this is why I'm trying to get us out of the habit of saying good morning, because there's nothing good about morning, and I don't mean M-O-R-N-I-N-G. I'm talking about morning, M-O-U, but they just make it together. So you're saying the same thing. If I'm mourning over a death or it's the mourning time of day, they sound the same when you say them. Think about that. So instead of saying good morning, say grand rising. Grand rising. We've got to be careful. We got to be more careful, y'all. We got to be more careful. I want us to really, really, like I said, uplift our consciousness, okay? Raise up this vibration. Come on now. Raise up this vibration. Because if you're sinking, and some of us feel like we're in quicksand and we don't have control over our lives or our money or whatever, yo, you better beam up. You better pray. You better connect to the beautiful higher forces of the Creator's Creator. Okay, connect to your beautiful, loving, and kind ancestors, not the ancestors that you know were crazy, not the ancestors that you know who might have violated you as a child. No, you forgive them, but you big up and you try to maintain your connection to the beautiful ancestors that you had in your life, whether it was your grandma, your mama, your daddy, auntie, uncle, friend, whoever, somebody who gave you love and light. Maintain that connection with that entity. Maintain a connection of love and beauty with that particular soul. Because this is not a game, a joke, or a drill, y'all. This is live and direct. And it's happening. It's happening every second of every day. I told you before, the satanic energies, the demons, they don't take naps. All right? Satan don't take no holiday. They don't take time off to relax, okay? And neither do supreme beings and gods. There ain't nobody got time to lay down and relax a lot, okay? So I'm telling you this because it's coming from a place of love. It's coming from a place of reverence unto you and from my soul to your soul. Please, we've got to beam up. We have to, okay? You know how much money they spend on this Hadron Collider thing? So just give me a second. I'm going to do some reading because I took some notes today and I really want to make sure I just get this out. And then we can talk about it in a minute, but I want to get this out. This is from an article written by John Letsing in April 4th of 2016, and it was in the Wall Street Journal. So it's not in some little tiny BS publication. We're talking about the Wall Street Journal, okay? It was entitled, CERN is Seeking Secrets of the Universe, or maybe opening a portal to hell. Nice. Let's go. Mind you, let me go real quick. CERN, it's an acronym. I'm not going to go into the acronym right now. It's because it's got to do with, like, you know, the Center of European Research for da-da-da. That ain't what CERN means. CERN really breaks down more so to a Celtic deity by the name of Cernunnos. Cernunnos means the horned one. He's got horns on his head. Sound familiar? All right. He is a lord of the underworld, controlling death and rebirth in the Celtic way of life. Think about it. I'm going to let that marinate for a minute. All right. I was like, oh, no. So I covered this 2 years ago, maybe before, on the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show quite thoroughly, and I broke it down. But, you know, CERN is still alive and well. And I, you know, just trust that smashing antimatter particles together with matter is a big deal, okay? So now they're making another larger, more powerful particle accelerator that would dwarf the current Hadron Collider, okay? I'm like, uh-oh, again. All right? Now, just to break it down on a physical particle level, when matter meets antimatter, they completely annihilate each other with all of their energy converted into new particles. The new electron position collider that they want to build would be way bigger than the current Hadron Collider that they have, and it would be to study the Higgs boson, the particle implicated in the origin of the masses of other fundamental particles. Okay, I need to break it down into layman's terms because some of y'all can't go as deep as I'm going, but just stay with me, please. Understanding how the Higgs field acquired its current energy is one of the greatest outstanding problems in physics, as it appears to be unbelievably finely tuned to allow atoms, very small particles, and other, therefore, stars, planets, and people to exist. So again, these people are really, really trying to figure out how we came into existence. They are spending over 9 billion to 15 billion with a B, euro, not dollars, euro pumpkin, okay? Euro or at least, I think, 75% more than the dollar. Just let's sit there for a second. It's a lot of money. Between 2040 and 2050 to build these things, all right? That, again, that is an exorbitant amount of money to, quote-unquote, help solve the riddle of why the universe is made almost entirely of matter and not antimatter. There's also talk about China creating its own collider project. I just felt a little shiver. That doesn't make me feel good at all. Now, I'm going to rewind a little bit because I want you all to make a connection. We're going to bridge these two things with consciousness and thought and intent, all right? Hold up. During the time of ancient Kemet, Sudan, Kush, Timbuktu, Ashanti, the Mali Empire, and other highly esteemed African civilizations, they all stressed the superior utmost importance of an individual possessing great spiritual enlightenment before moving towards obtaining / learning higher degrees of knowledge. I'm going to repeat that. During the ancient times, especially in Africa, Mama Africa, Al-Kebulon, our empires stressed the superior utmost importance of possessing great spiritual enlightenment before moving towards obtaining and learning a higher degree of knowledge. They knew full well that with knowledge comes great responsibility and emotional depth in order for one to receive and possess such knowledge. Okay? This is done with the spiritual work. This is done with knowing yourself, your own behavior, your emotional state, if you will, of mind, heart, and soul. So I feel it's safe and accurate for me to say, really, that today's scientists, quote unquote, are grossly inept in the aforementioned areas. Okay? This is my writing. This is my conclusion. All right? So in Kemet, for instance, the high temples, okay, all over Luxor, Thebes, and wherever else, all of the temples, the high temples, were designed and laid out as a human female body from the feet to the head. Now, if you can Google it while I'm on here. You can open up another page or you can go to your phone real quick and Google the aerial view of a Kemetan temple. Kemetan meaning Egyptian, but y'all know I don't use that word. So the Kemetan temple was laid out in form of a human body, a human female body. Because, again, Africa was matriarchal, meaning that they reinforced, acknowledged, and practiced life in a matriarchal way, knowing that the female, the bearer of fruit, the giver of life, was the highest life form on the planet, and that she needed to be revered, respected, protected, honored. And we used Ma'at, or the, how would I say, the laws of Ma'at to live and to help us govern our way through our lives. When I talked about the 42 laws of Ma'at last week and how the Ten Commandments come out of the 42 laws of Ma'at. So if you don't know all 42, then 32 of those bad boys are going to be, you're going to be ignorant of. You're not going to know what they are, okay? So I do behoove the family to please look up the 42 laws of Ma'at, print them out, and live by them as best you can from this day forward. In any event, back to the temple. That's why you saw the two flat pylons. Now, if you're on the ground, you can't see that this is a body. You can only see it if you're on top of a mountain or if you're in the air. So you got the 2 feet at the bottom. You walk in through the, in between those 2 feet, in between those two pylons. You're actually entering into the temple through what would be the vagina of the temple. You make your way through the nave slash navel, high belly, hello, of the temple, into the chest and the bosom where the heart is, okay, and then into the neck, which is a small hallway. But then the brain area, the top of the head, all initiates would be halted before entering into this area, because this area is called the holiest of holies. And that was the brain. That was the top of the head. If you did not pass certain levels of enlightenment through study and test and rigorous test, okay, you would not be allowed to enter into the holiest of holies. Because the brain was the most sacred part of the temple, all right? The head and the brain of the woman is still a very sacred space. That's why it's manipulated and attacked in all forms, beginning with a perm. Now, if you don't know what I mean, please look up and study Dr. Ben Yohanan, an amazing, formidable force in African history and science and knowledge, Ibaye to this giant. I actually had the opportunity to attend his memorial service that was held at the National Black Theater about maybe 5-6 years ago. Absolutely beautiful. And my mother knew him. He was a powerful, powerful man. So, so smart. So the Dr. Benz, the John Henry Clark's take on to Diop, Even Dr. Kabah Coleman, who's still alive right now, you do have, some who are still left over, Dr. Leonard Jeffries as well, from that era where you had, black teachers and black scholars going to Kemet, going to Africa, going to Mali, going to the Ashanti, going to where Timbuktu used to be and what have you, to study and to learn just how amazing our African culture is, I'm not even going to say was because we're still here, is, all right? So just realize that these temples were sacred. They were not masculine. They were laid out in the embodiment of a woman, of a female. You don't have temples to any other deity or entity aside from Herheru, misnamed Hathor by the Greeks. That's the only personal temple that you have. The other temples that you have are in different areas and regions, Abu Simbel, Luxor. What's the other one? It won't come to me right now. But in any event, we have all these wonderful temples. We've got pyramids. We got a lot popping all across a lot of North and Central Africa. And even when you get down into South Africa, again, power, y'all. So realize that there's always a little bit more going on than meets the eye, and that energy is way more vast. Knowledge and spirituality will always surpass knowledge. But you got to have it first. And it helps you to maintain your temperament. It helps you to think before you speak and act. It helps you to realize that you must remain cognizant of your actions and your thoughts and your words and your deeds. And it also helps you to bridle yourself and pull yourself back from doing something that you know would probably be bad. So that hit me as I was researching all this CERN stuff, Because, you know, the CERN thing, I'm just looking at what looks like mad scientists. They just seem like mad scientists to me. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? Why would you want to open up lower portals of dimensions? Because, again, your behind is ignorant spiritually. You lack what is necessary to realize that you should not do that. But money and power talk, especially to non-melanated people. It talks to melanated people too. But I'm saying that the majority of these scientists at CERN are non-melanated individuals. And so they're mixing together all these different sciences and almost religions, almost. Because outside of CERN, there's a 2-meter-high statue of Shiva. Shiva is known as the destroyer. Shiva is one of the 3 main deities, okay, in Brahmanism and Krishna. You got the destroyer outside. She's actually doing the dance of destruction. Because Shiva can have many different positions. At the same time, the one they chose, hello, is the one where Shiva's in destruction mode. Think about that. All right? So if I'm continuing to reflect on the CERN information / agenda that I just shared, I just believe that these individuals are not spiritually qualified to be doing the work that they're doing. And it's very dangerous, not just for them, but for the rest of the planet, okay? So obviously there's way more going on at CERN than we, the general public, are being led to believe. Just like there's way more going on with regard to the Rona and 5 George and the 10 Roni shot than they're telling everybody anyway. So it's heavy, you know? And lastly... before I end my subject matter, and we're going to, you know, we can jump in on it and talk more about it when I finish. I just feel like, you know, I know I'm paying attention, but I need us to really pay closer and closer and closer attention to what's really, really happening in our world. So I watched a clip where a mother had her child watching Pokemon in the living room. And, you know, she's in the kitchen and she's cooking, so she's not looking, but she's listening. And at one point, she realizes that the Pokemon episode is discussing brainwave activity. Now, remember when I talked about brainwave activity last week? I went in depth about the alpha waves and the beta waves, the gamma waves, and all these different waves and our levels of consciousness. Why did the Pokemon cartoon break down the same thing I said? Now, Pokemon is like for a 7 to 10-year-old. What does a 7 or a 10-year-old child know unless their parent is an astrophysicist or a metaphysicist about alpha wave and beta wave and gamma wave? What do they know about that? So, again, you're neuralistically programming children with information that they cognizantly aren't even aware of. So it's going to sit in their unconscious until later because their conscious mind can't fathom it just yet, especially if mom nor dad or whoever is talking about brainwave activity and consciousness. This is deep. And I just mentioned this last week. And again, I said to you before, there's no such thing as a coincidence or an accident. Everything happens for a reason because it was all about energy. So it was meant for me to come across that clip that mother put up on Instagram. I was like, well, lo and behold. And then finally on today, waking up to a really great podcast where a brother was talking about demons. I was like, yeah, well, there you go. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you following me, family? What we have, oh, what a conundrum we have. Oh, how important it is for all of us to really get into our consciousness, be mindful of our thoughts, be mindful about what we're eating, how we're thinking, what we're watching, what our eyes are taking in. Yes, your eyes are the windows to your soul, so whatever you're watching is going to have an effect on your consciousness. Be careful. Be careful. So when you see all these reports on the fake news that are dealing with people and unruly passengers on airline flights, what's the bigger picture of that? Not just that people are bugging out, but to me, I think that they're trying to dissuade people from wanting to fly. They're furthering attempting to control you so that you won't go out and experience the world. And the world is an awesome place. Yes, you've got places that are negative, but more often I think you have places that are positive. And as I have traveled this beautiful globe and I have had beautiful, wonderful experiences all throughout this planet, I think that they're attempting to diminish that for everybody else. They do not want people to continue to travel, because when you travel, you expand your consciousness. You learn something new that you didn't know before. You're also flying in the air over the earth. You're looking at the ground from God's point of view. Hello. Because Lord knows if you're always on the ground, you can't see that. But when you fly, wow, what an amazing view you have. Literally, you are looking down on the planet just like a god. So your consciousness expands. Your thought process changes. And then when you reach your destination and you meet new people and you're eating different new foods and you're breathing new air, different air, hello, you're, you know, trying new things and seeing things you've never seen before, you're expanding your consciousness. They don't want you to do that. The machine is very, very much against the expansion of human consciousness, which is why they keep trying to ball it up into nothing and throwing it away. And that's why, yes, you've got beautiful, highly intelligent young women who, instead of matriculating in school and attempting to raise their consciousness and vibration so that they can become queens on this earth and they can raise children who have love and consciousness in their minds and hearts into little hoes who want to make a dollar or 500 off of exposing themselves online to nasty people. Think about it. I remember when I was younger, and I remember they had, like, you know, Playboy magazine, Hustler magazine. Then you had, like, the pornography videos and what have you. I could never get into it because of a few things. Number one, I realized that if the person on screen had a real choice, they would probably opt out of doing what they were doing, meaning that I'm looking at this young girl, spread eagle, having all these men or whatever all over her, and I probably have only watched a porn movie, I would have to say maybe three, four times in my entire life. And I never watched it all the way through because it disgusts me. But, and I have a good enough imagination on my own with regard to my sexuality, so I didn't really need a jump start. But, and I'm not a voyeur in that way either. I just realized this is somebody's child. This is somebody's daughter who maybe lost an opportunity somewhere. They broke. They don't have no money. And this is a cycle that they've fallen into to make money. Now, again, your body is your temple. So you're never supposed to use it for money, and you're definitely not supposed to allow people to see you in sexual situations, or even if you're by yourself and just masturbating. But you're not supposed to televise that, if you will. So, and I'm a child of the 60s. So if I fast forward to today and I look at what they considered entertainment, even in the hip-hop industry, and how we went from Queen Latifah and Moni Love and Lady of Rage with the Afro Puffs and Lynn Q and the women ISIS of X-Clan and what have you. And now all of a sudden we go to Foxy Brown, who I think her original name as a rapper was Lady Isis back in the day. How you go from Lady Isis trying to spit consciousness to Foxy Brown, that's deep. You know, Lil' Kim was Big Mama. She was a cute little chunky brown-skinned girl in, you know, in hip-hop on Bad Boy. And she went from that to being damn near a porno star looking like a broke-ass Barbie that's out of control. Not a good thing. Then you have Trina from down south, again, sexual exploitation. And then we morph into Nicki Minaj, as in menage a trois, gross, with a behind that is unnatural, maybe natural in other parts of Africa and to certain individuals, but it wasn't natural to herself because she was kind of regular body, had a regular booty, and didn't have big breasts, and she turned herself into a monster. Now we have Cardi B, who I'm not blaming Cardi, even though maybe one day she will get arrested for drugging men and taking their money, but they turn her into like this rap mogul. You know, her diction is absolutely horrible. Poor child can't speak that well to save her life. She's maybe learning and trying to read some books now, but to me it's a little bit late if all you want to talk about is WAP and what WAP means. I'm not going to go into that right now because it just absolutely disgusts me. But the fact that this has been contorted into entertainment, and I know people who are the CEOs of nonprofit organizations bumping Cardi B in their Benz when supposedly they have or run a shelter for young women. Hello? So, yeah, I get upset because I feel like the consciousness is just slipping and sliding. Nobody's paying attention. And life is not about if you can drop it like it's hot. That's not what life is about. Sorry, even if you can drop it. Okay? I'm going to reiterate this again. We are human beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience in order to evolve into higher levels of consciousness, not to descend into lower levels of consciousness. That is not why you come into a physical envelope called a human being. And the melanated human possesses the most knowledge about this, whether it's innately, whether it's carved in a temple wall, whether it's in a book or publication, period. So while the rest of the world is trying to exterminate black people, literally exterminate black people, now they done turned it up where they just, we're always first. Let me just say that. Because now they want to exterminate everybody. And they're doing a very good job. And unfortunately, family, many of you, maybe not on this program tonight, because I know my listeners are very, very, very bright and highly intellectual individuals, but I know we've got friends and family who are ignorant and blind to the facts of this particular reality as well as to what the main agenda is about with regard to the Rona, the Tenderoni shot, and 5 George. It's not pretty. And yeah, if you focus on it too much, you can get depressed, you can get sad. I'm like, bump all of that. Ain't nobody got time to be sad. All right? It's time to get yourself together. It's time to raise up. It's time to learn how to protect yourself and your family. It's time. It's time. It's time to stop eating all of that meat and going to Burger King and McDonald's every day. Maybe once in a while, and even then I'll say, okay, you want a little crack every once in a while. That's your business. But don't do this all the time. Don't live in McDonald's. Don't drown your children in Happy Meals that are very unhappy. Don't do it. Just like to eat one apple all day. See what happens. Aside from your stomach maybe growling, eat one apple and drink water. See how you feel spiritually. I'm telling you, you will change your entire disposition. We overconsume. Overconsume. Be careful. You know, I like beer. Yes, I do. But I'm not drinking beer all day, every day. Okay? There are lots of things I like. I'm not doing that every day, all day. I like to make love too. I'm not doing it every day, all day. Think. And if we do not get ourselves to a higher level of consciousness and enlightenment, we can just hang it all up. And the universe will continue to do what she needs to do, because that's what she's done through the dawn, since the dawn of time, and she will continue to do. But if you are anywhere near understanding, understanding, and overstanding what I'm talking about, make the changes you need to make ASAP. Because this envelope is real and the portals are closing. So while lower portals are opening, higher levels of consciousness are opening also. But for yourself, they could be closing because of what you've been doing all your life. These young girls out here talking about they going to get a man because they just want money. I mean, I know people and friends and individuals who, you know, just want to talk about what they can get, what they can have, what they can get, what they can have. I'm like, well, what are you giving? The law of reciprocity will never die. What are you putting out there? Honey, Lish and I had a very deep conversation earlier today about a dear friend who unfortunately is retributing a lot of negative karma because he was egotistical and he took advantage of a lot of people and things and situations in his earlier life. And now, as an older man, he is suffering greatly. Okay? He's broke. His body is messed up. He's addicted to things that he shouldn't be addicted to. And this was once a very prominent individual. So we got to be careful. And any of you who are listening who come from very humble beginnings, or, you know, you didn't come from parents who had a lot of money or whatever, so what? Your consciousness is not dictated by your wallet. I'm going to say it again. Your consciousness is not dictated by your wallet. How you want to behave and be in the world, how you want to vibrate in the world, if you want to be loving and kind, that ain't got nothing to do with money. You just be that. Just do it. And if and when you do obtain financial gain, don't retard yourself by beginning to play the game of taking advantage of people, lying and stealing and cheating and scheming. Don't do it. Just don't do it and you'll be okay. Because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it with friends. I'm seeing it with other constituents that I have. And I'm like, ooh, that ain't good. People are suffering because they have made others to suffer before. Don't make anybody else to suffer and think that you ain't going to suffer. The universe is a boomerang, pumpkin. It's going to give you back whatever you put out. So I just need us to be aware. I know I took us on a journey. I hope you were able to follow me on the journey, because I'm serious. The CERN Institute, these portals that have been opening and them wanting to explore the gateways of hell and all this other kind of stuff, and a lot of that comes from non-melanated individuals not having a spiritual connection to their world and not having melanin overall, like in your skin, can do that to you. Because your pineal gland is smaller. It's got a greater propensity to become calcified, especially with what we're eating. Fluoride in the water calcifies the pineal gland. Period. All that fluoridated water, fluoride in your toothpaste, fluoride in your mouthwash, all that fluoride helps to calcify, as in turn into a fingernail or a toenail, hello, your pineal gland. Your pineal gland is your crown chakra. It is your God consciousness. It is what gives you an intuition into things, a feeling, a foreknowing about something before it happens, or to even be able to transport your consciousness to another dimension higher for you to be able to move through the third dimension that we're in. Follow me? If your pineal gland is calcified, you're not that bright. So you better realize that a lot of the ingredients within the tenderoni shot will also seek to nullify your pineal gland. as well as the pituitary gland in children, sterilizing children, helping women to have miscarriages and what have you. All of that is all par for the course in this tenderoni shot. And you ain't paying attention to that. Meanwhile, Funky Fauci is about to be brought up on charges. Hopefully it'll come soon. We'll see what happens. Who knows? But the emails are out. He lied to Congress blatantly. He said he had no aforementioned knowledge and that they had stopped the research when they didn't because he funded the research in Wuhan. Then you get stupid Trump who wants to blame China for everything. No, you can't blame China for everything if the U.S. was funding China to make this thing be able to be contagious in human beings. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, were used to bump up the infection rate of, quote-unquote, coronavirus. And even then, it's 99.95% survivable. But the panic had to be planned and put on everybody. Everybody got to be running around in a damn tizzy so that you will willfully line up, as you have been doing, to get the tenderoni shot. Meanwhile, that was the plan all along, was to give you the shot. The shot was created before the pandemic. Plandemic. Hello? Lastly, one of the number one reasons why they have to store the Pfizer and I believe Moderna vaccine in sub-zero temperatures is because the nanotechnology will not be effective in a regular temperature. It won't. It doesn't work. They have to be in sub-zero temperature, sub-sub-zero temperature, in order to be effective and to get those liposomes into the body to release the mRNA spike proteins to attack your body. And that's what they're doing. And there are people all over the world dying and suffering and getting all these horrible conditions as a result of it. And as I said last week, which I'll say again this week, if you yourself have been injected with the first shot and not the second shot, don't take the second shot. Don't take it. And I will pray for you. I pray for the world every day. I have two meditations I continue to invite you to, you know, on your own at 11:11 in the morning and 11:11 at night to pray for love and peace and joy and health and harmony for humanity and all life entities on earth. This is what we do twice a day, fam. Put it in your phone. Program your phone like I do. So when it goes off, I just say a nice little prayer. I put some love and some beautiful energy out into the universe for everyone and everything everywhere. And that's only twice a day. There are other times when I may just stop and pray, or there's times when I'm outside and I hear the birds singing and I bless the birds for singing to me and I give thanks for to be alive and to breathe fresh air and to have a beautiful relationship with the trees because they give us the oxygen that we need. And I give them the carbon dioxide that they need. And you can say, oh, she's bohemian. No, not really. Oh, I'm more of a star child. And I have no problem being that. I've been that. I know that's who I am. Many of you are too, and you don't even know it. We got geniuses in the family that don't even know that they're geniuses. Serious. When, of course, yeah, I had the kind of mother who was very scholastic and very knowledgeable and very psychological and what have you. So, you know, I had my IQ tested when I was 6 and I was on genius level. They were like, oh, she's special. Okay, great. But if I don't do anything with that, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I can see ghosts. But if I don't do anything with that, what does it mean? So I choose to vibrate high. I choose to be loving and respectful. I choose to embrace all of the beautiful things of life and to reverberate that and reciprocate that unto other life forms and other people and other entities all throughout this planet. That is my job, and that is what I'm going to do. Many of us are like this. Don't be afraid to be this way. Okay, one of my sisters on the line, Sister Dawn, she is just like this. She's a loving, kind, beautiful sister. She's not a schemer. She's not a liar. She's not a taker. She's a giver. She's a carer. She's a lover. Embrace those parts of yourself. Some of y'all are on this line. Y'all are beautiful, amazing entities of light and love. Keep pushing. Keep striving. Keep doing it. Do not succumb to wickedness and evil. Do not do it. They want us to do it. They want us to wild out and to be, no, don't do it. Some of us got to hang tight, y'all. We got to hang tight. Hi. So I hope that you were able to understand, and hopefully overstand a lot of what I spoke about tonight. Time goes so fast when we rock this show. I got 30 minutes left, so I'm going to start opening lines, but I just really need the family to realize, be careful what you take in visually, what you take in on an audible level, what you're listening to. Be careful what you say, what comes out of your mouth. Before all that, be careful about what you have in your mind and what you're saying in your mind. Do not say negative things to yourself, and try not to plant negative images of other people in your head as well. Everybody's a work in progress. We're all trying to make this happen. But seriously, if you know somebody who acts like a demon, check them and try to encourage them to get that demon out of them. Real talk. Don't be afraid to tell them, I see your demon. I see it. Pull that back. Check that. Try to get rid of that. Real talk. Because you got a lot of little young rappers out here now, and they're talking about the devil, and they talk about raping little boys, and it's, I mean, come on, y'all. That's not music. It's demonic. So be careful. Okay? Be very, very careful. And be careful who you spend time with, and be careful who you lay with and play with. Okay? Ashe. So, I'm coming off the pulpit. 973-640. That should be Dr. James Winborn. Alamo, are you with me?
Greetings, Alamo. I am with you.
Peace, Doc. Peace.
Peace to the queen. Peace to the queen. As usual, you're on fire tonight. Just happy to be here and to be able to sit under your tutelage and just enjoy the knowledge that you are sharing with us all. So I'm always happy and grateful.
Thank you so much. Thank you, my brother. Again, you know, I wouldn't be able to do this without you. You know, the Neo Nation Network is a very powerful network of some really special, special entities. And I thank you and Reverend Ron for just allowing the family to even have a platform to be able to listen to souls like myself and the Ethiopian World Federation and all the other programs that we have on the Neo Nation Network. Like, seriously, we can't do this without y'all. So I really give thanks for that. And I know in some ways, form or fashion, you could definitely identify with what I was talking about with these lower energies and lower entities, and when we're getting into metaphysics and we're getting into spiritual warfare, if you will. I know you could relate.
Indeed. You know, even before I got into metaphysics, coming up in church, you know, we were always taught about the transference of spirits and how frequency and how somebody is going to draw someone. The person that you're with is going to become like you, or you're going to become like them.
Right.
So, you know, energy, transference of energy, vibrational frequencies are all very important. You know, I tell people vibrational frequencies, whether they're high or low, determines what, how can I say it? what type of logos you are.
Right.
When I say logos, I mean the word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
Because that's what vibrations are. Vibrations are vibratory frequency. So, you know, and science and religion are saying the same thing. So I often go to the book of John that says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I
yes.
always say in the beginning was the frequency, was
yes.
the vibratory frequency. And that vibratory frequency was with God. That vibratory frequency was God, and that vibratory frequency became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, we know how the vibratory frequency is the vibration of the DNA molecules and the coagulation. With life, you know, so these are how all of these things manifest and how all of these things come. So yes, you know, when you be talking about happy feelings, I don't want to go in. I ain't trying to teach. I'm just trying to enjoy. And so I'm just saying, yeah, just sitting there and listening to what little bit I was able to get. Always, as always, very, very, very informative. And I'm very, very appreciative because it's not often I can go and hear something new. That's what I like. New revelation, new understanding, additional understanding. Break it down and give it to us in a way that we have not been able to realize it before. Absolutely. God bless the Queen.
Oh, thank you, my brother, and God bless you too. God has blessed you, honestly. Thank you so much for that. I'm so serious, you know, because when we're dealing with the metaphysical realm and we're dealing with levels of consciousness, a lot of times, you know, you can lose people, you know, they're like, oh, that's too deep for me. And it really bothers
right.
me when I hear melanated people tell me something is too deep for them because I'm like, ain't
right.
nothing too deep for you because you're
right.
black.
So you're black. It's about you.
It's about you.
It's too deep is because that's what they told you.
Right.
They don't want you to know that it's about you. They don't
right.
want you to know. They don't want you to know that you're here as a gift, that you're here, that they often talk about is an antenna. A direct connection, a conductor of electronic energy that's
yes.
making direct connection to the universe, and it's still all about the vibrations. We don't believe these things because we've been taught that it's bad. We've been taught that there's something wrong with blackness.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just don't understand. But the reality of it is, and I'm going to say something tonight that took me a long time to digest.
Come on.
But I never forget back in 2003, 2004, we were doing a show, and I had a gentleman on the show. We were talking about dark matter consciousness.
Mm.
And he says, listen, I'm a trained, licensed professional electrician. I get paid almost $500,000 a year to do what I do.
Mm.
And as an electrician, who's always working with vibrations and frequencies and colors, I'm trying to tell you, black means light.
Come on. Come on. Ashe, come on.
And white means dark. He said they have
Hello.
Flipped it on.
Good morning.
He said they have flipped it on you, and you don't even realize.
Come on.
Yeah. We don't even realize what we have. And who we are, because we have no concept of consciousness of black matter, consciousness, dark matter consciousness. And we go by what they tell us. And then that's
right, because they also, you know, when they stole us, and then they literally stole us, and then
right.
well, first they stole, you know, our land. Then they stole us. Then they stole our consciousness. Then they misplaced, displaced, and replaced us all over.
Yeah.
Huh?
And then they tried to strip identity so that we could not make the connections.
Exactly. And so they made it more difficult. They basically, in a way, and this just came to me, but consciousness is awesome, they turned us into a superior Asar. In the Khmetan story about how Asar's evil brother, Set, cut him up into various pieces and strew them all across the planet so he would never be able to be whole again.
Right.
That's what they did to us as a people. So it wasn't just an individual anymore. It was the people. They took
right.
all of us and just scattered us and confused us. Hence the
right.
whole Babylonian babble, if you will, you know, the whole not understanding each other, you know, not being able to interrelate or communicate effectively with each other. We could be speaking
right.
the same language, but we don't understand what we're saying.
We don't understand. Right. Now, the crazy part about that story, on my other side of the Bible scholar, is that when you go back and you review that story of the story of the Tower of Babel, everybody was doing good. Everybody was getting along just fine, and they was building this until the gods saw what they were doing and decided that they could not do this because they would make them greater than the gods. And so they confused the language. Scripture says that the gods confused the language to keep the people separated. So I often wonder what God were they referring to, but that's another story. We can get back into that. That's another a lesson for another day. But the story of Babel, or the story of, which then leads into those things like Babylon.
Yes.
And what Babylon has become over time is an idea. Now, some actually believe the illusion is so big, right? That we are in Babylon.
Right.
But we have been lied to and told that it's someplace else.
Right. Right. And it's interesting that we're making this tangent right now, because in the, one of the research videos that I had came across with regard to the CERN Institute was that they are dealing with a lot of quote-unquote Babylonian lower forces of energy that they want to basically overrun the earth, like just have demons everywhere. And so, and we're seeing this. We're seeing this right now in real time. So I'm like, ooh. You know, again, I want the family to realize, and I've got to give a shout-out to Sister Kier Kaza. She's on tonight. She's listening. She's sending me fireballs. I'm like, all right, baby, I know that's – I'm like, you know, and I love it when y'all text me while I'm on because it lets me know I'm on point and we're doing what we're supposed to do. You know, I want to be able to help the family to explore.
And I recognize
and,
that name.
Yes, yes, you do. you know, I just feel that, like I said, the universe speaks to us in a variety of ways.
Yes.
So it's going to come in a passage, it can come in a video, it can come in a song, it can come in a sound, a smell, a taste, whatever, but connect to it. You know what I mean? It has relevance for you.
Right.
It has relevance for you. And so what you're saying right now, woo, I just got like a chill because it was the very same thing that the man was talking about in the video I watched about CERN. You know, if you've lower entities and you've got, quote-unquote, unconscious individuals, even though they can have letters after their name and they can be smart as whips and what have you, but they're unconscious spiritually,
right?
Then they will easily be misled to doing something that is wrong or bad,
right.
Negative, unbeknownst to them. Because they're
right.
thinking, oh, it's a scientific breakthrough. No, fool.
Right. No, yeah, yeah.
Leaves hell on earth by accident.
By accident. Because they have no conscience of who they are. They're not aware of who they are as of yet. As far as they're concerned, they're still the image, the reflection that comes back to them when they're looking to the glass, when they're looking to the mirror.
Come
on. And so they don't know that they're really a divine entity having a human experience, and what they see is just a reflection of a molecular structure. And
exactly.
That we are indeed co-creators here on the third dimension, and we do that based on vibration. We do that based on vibratory frequencies. We do that based on our words.
Right.
Okay? Based on what we say. I mean, Let's go back to the scriptures again. As a co-creator, if we're following an example, we know that in the book of Genesis, it kept on saying, and God said.
All day long.
And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. So it gives us the roadmap to manifestation.
Come on.
This God said. As a man think of it, his heart, so is he.
Ooh. And
as we say, I'm strong. okay, and let the poor say I'm rich. You put it out there, you manifest it, and you speak it. That's how this third dimension where we live here on Earth works.
Yes, it does.
I have
a really dear friend who's got some health issues, and she's been going through some things, and so we spoke
right.
the other day, and I know she was afraid, and I don't know if she's listening tonight, but I love you, and you know who you are. But I was like, I need you to claim your healing. I need you to speak it out loud.
I need you
to give thanks for it and feel in your mind and dream as if you are 100% well, feeling fantastic, and doing what you need to do. I also topped that off on the other side, letting her know that I was going to pray for her every day, and that I was going to light a white candle for her and make
right.
sure that I keep that flame so that she can definitely heal and get my and feel my energy, because I'm transcending my energy through earth and through rocks and through space to get to her body to help her heal her body. What she's been going through wasn't like what I was going through. I'm going through something else, but and mine is manageable. But I know that she was afraid and she cried, and I can't stand it when I'm talking to someone and they're you know not well and they cry. I can feel
right.
it. It rips my soul.
Right.
It rips my soul. So I was like, I had to rise above that and not cry
mm-hmm.
with her, because I was like, I don't
mm-hmm.
want to cry. I want to
right.
embolden her, and I want to strengthen
Absolutely.
Her,
Absolutely.
You know, into knowing that she is the source of her healing primarily,
right.
and if she connects with spirit and with goddess and with God, that it will just go away. It'll just go away. So I was
right.
like, I need you to hold tight and just claim your glory and your victory, because
right.
she's been able to transcend other things in the past, and I'm like, you too, you will transcend this as well, and you will be fine. So
right.
I saw her putting some posts up on Instagram, so I hope that's an indication that she's feeling better. But like you're saying, the word is so powerful, and that's why we do have to watch our mouths.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we are so toxic in our speech, and we don't realize how we're cursing ourselves or we're cursing
right.
someone else. And you
the,
might not
the
even
intend that the tongue is a two-edged sword.
Yes,
okay?
It is.
It creates and it tears down.
Mm-hmm.
You know
Please
what
believe
I
it.
And when I go back and I go back to my biblical teachings coming up, you know they would teach that all sins was forgivable, right?
Yes.
Except for backbiting. And I should be like, backbiting, why? And like, you know what I mean? I didn't deserve a sentence on the tongue.
Right.
Because it's what's done with the tongue. It's
yep.
the damage that's done with the tongue. And the scripture understood, and science understand, that it's, the tongue is the tool for a manifestation.
Come on.
That's why we have the affirmations. So I would say to the sister that you've spoken to, continue those affirmations. People call me all the time, and they say, how you doing? The first words come out of my mouth is that I am blessed and highly favored.
I say.
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep saying it. I just keep saying it. I just keep saying it. And when this stuff showed up, when stuff show up and things happen to me, and I think to myself, well, you know, this happened because I'm blessed and highly favored. So I do that all the time, and I say that all the time so I can continue to manifest these things and
yes.
continue to have these things happen in my life. Well, I mean, these are principles that everyone should try to live their life by. It's not
yes.
easy at first.
No,
okay?
But practice.
You got to get up. Practice makes perfect. You got to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and you watch what you say. Case in point, and then I know Dr. Robertson is dead. You got
I see him.
Uh-huh.
I got him.
But listen, if you remember the days of any of us that have worked a normal 9-to-5, or some of us that may still work 9-to-5, there was times when we just didn't feel like going in. We just
okay.
didn't like going in. And we know we had some sick days, right? So
mm-hmm.
we decided, I'm going to use one of my sick days. I'm going to call in sick. So you go through your whole routine of calling in. Hello. Right?
Sorry.
We go through the whole routine, right?
Yes.
And then before you know it, you done told them you don't feel well. Before the day is over, you're not feeling well. Why?
I'm sick.
Because you done took time and you done put that out there in the universe. You acting on it. You talking like you sick.
Right.
I think I'll be all right. I don't know what happened. You know. And then the next thing you know, you are having the experience that you put out there to the universe. Muhammad Ali would run around all the time telling everybody, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the fastest. I'm this, that, and the other. Scared the bejesus out of the killer. I forget the guy's name. The first one he beat, the black guy. And how you do it? He talked himself into victory. He manifested.
Right.
And he would tell you that's what he did.
Come on. And again, this is where the power of the mantra comes in. Okay, and reciting something to yourself over and over and over again. I know for myself, I've been able to instantly manifest a specific desire, keeping it in righteousness, of course, in accordance with the laws. But I've been able to do this many, 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 many times. Even a couple of weeks ago it happened because, you know, we're having this wedding and weddings cost money. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, well, we can always use a little bit more. And so I decided to do a brief meditation where I was just like, money comes easily and frequently. You know, abundance is my birthright. I am wealthy. And I repeat that over and over and over again. Money comes easily and frequently. I am wealthy. Okay? Abundance is my birthright. Because it is. Hello? And so I sat in that energy, and the next day I got information that I got a check coming to me for $1,800. I was like, all right, holla back. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we do this. Okay? We're very important individuals. Again, the word magi, like the three little magi supposedly in the Christ birth story, magi means magician. Hello, good morning. Using metaphysics and alchemy to have a desired physical effect.
Right.
We are
magi,
not, we're not,
magic.
You know, escaping this. This is who we are. We do this all day, every day.
Right.
So that's why we have to be careful, like I said, to not curse ourselves and curse others, even in humor sometimes.
Right.
We got to raise up these frequencies so that we can, and I'm sorry, I know I sound like I got daisies in my hair. Whatever. I'm just trying to make
sure. You
I just want us to get on a higher level because the powers that be that are negative, the machine forces of the matrix, they are turned all the way up. They're all the way up. And if we do not pay attention, we're going to drown. And even some of the most beautiful people will drown in this sea and wave of negativity. We've got to be able to circumvent that and rise above it and look at it like, nah, son, I ain't got no time for you. Go somewhere. Get behind me.
Right, you got to control your intake.
Come on.
You got to control your negativity.
Yes. Seriously. So don't, you know, I talk about, you know, and some people have a better stomach or a better view or a better perception to be able to deal with negative things all the time. I'm not that individual.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm
right.
dealing in reality, and there's enough negativity and ultimately reality for me to not necessarily need to do it on a recreational level. That's just me, just saying.
Right.
It's important what we do take into our consciousness because it molds and shapes us as the entity. And we knew this in ancient times, which is why, and going back to what I said earlier, we weren't traipsing all into the holiest of holies knowing that we weren't ready to receive the wisdom and the information and that level of enlightenment and knowledge if we weren't ready. So you got these unready Freddies all up in the CERN Institute and factions of government, Fauci and Biden and all these people who want to make decisions for all of the world. Hello. And it's nasty. It's demonic. It's deadly. It's killer. And we've got to be aware of that. I don't even know how much longer we're going to have a profile like this to be able to discuss these things because they're shutting people's pages down. People are in Instagram prison. You know what I'm saying? Facebook is deleting people's pages. People had 10,000 followers and then poof, they don't have anything. So we've got to just try to stay steadfast. And yo, I'm serious, y'all. eat those green vegetables so you can keep your pineal gland open, because your pineal gland is going to be your next television, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So
my pineal
open up,
gland.
Let me open up Reverend's line before I get cut. I can't get cut by the Reverend.
Right. That's what my pioneer was telling me.
Okay, how about that?
Be the love that you want to be the love that you're looking for, people. But there's a wonderful brother on 252-287, Mr. Stuart Fields. He's doing such a wonderful thing with bringing food, shelter, water to the African villages. He's extending a business to Africa, which I'm going to be working with him to extend more business to Africa to bring it here. And he's giving money back to the communities and the villages in Africa, and I think it's just a wonderful thing. So if,
oh, that's
if brother
awesome.
Can get a, yeah, brother can get a minute. He's at 252-287.
Okay, yes, I do see him. All right, let me give him a couple of minutes. 252-287, Brother Stuart. I'm trying to open your line.
Can y'all hear me? Grand Rising family, can y'all hear me?
Grand Rising King,
Rising.
How are you tonight?
All right, peace, queen. Hey, look, I love the conversation. I've been listening for about a good hour. I really love the conversation.
Thank you.
It's interesting to hear this type of conversation. It's very interesting to me, but I just love the conversation. I thank the Reverend for giving me a chance to speak, y'all, you know, about the wonderful work that we're doing in Africa, how we're trying to connect with our brothers and sisters on the continent as far as helping them do humanitarian aid and also business by creating jobs and factories over there on the mother continent and getting them to produce products that we are selling here in America, right? So, right now, since you was talking about in your greens, you know, I have this product that we're bringing back from Africa called Boga Detox that we're selling. It's being made in Boga, Tonga, Ghana, and we're shipping it to America, and we're selling it, and it helps detoxify your body. But I want to say something. I want to say so, because y'all was talking about a star and the body being chopped up, right, into the pieces, right? I just want to add something. All right. You know, our set got the pieces and mummified the body and brought us whole again, right?
I
compare that to us in America today, right? We are chopped up and got so many different camps, so many different religions, so many different denominations. So these different camps and religions and doctrines that we are fathering are our body parts chopped up. We're chopped up in pieces, right? But what Aset did was she brought us all the pieces together to make us whole again. Well, what is going to happen today that's going to bring us together to bring us whole again? What is our set of this day, this time, that's going to happen to get us to all come back together? And what's happening is it's happening right before our eyes. This conversation that I heard is clarity. It's making it being known that we are starting, the pieces of the body are starting to come back together, family. All this with the temples is all nothing but as above, so below. It's all about the anatomy of the body. It's about us knowing ourselves, knowing who we are, knowing us from inside and out, and that is what is happening. It's already happening. The circumstances in the world are bringing the pieces of the body together. So I wanted to say that I've been wanting, I don't want to jump in and just try to cloud y'all show. But
no, it's all right, my brother. It's okay. This is what we're here for.
But
and I love it that you.
As,
I'm gonna. Go ahead. I just want to answer your question because you're like, how are we going to do that? The main reason why Aset went out to find Asar twice. First, remember he was buried in the column in the water, and then she had to go put the pieces together. But what was driving her was love.
That was
what drove her each time, even with all her tears, even with all her sleepless nights. It was love, the love of a black woman. Even myself, my love is what brings me to this platform, that I love my fellow human, that I love my planet. I love the animals. I love the trees and the grass and the flowers. I love it all. I love us all. And I pray for those who are demonic. I pray for those who are wicked and evil, that they will see light and they will be able to transcend themselves into beauty and love and happiness. Love is what it is. The universe is love. That's why we're here. It wanted to express itself so badly that it individuated itself into all of us. Love.
Yes. I say. And it's happening. And the circumstances is going to make us, and America is going to make us have to come together. Either we're going to be destroyed.
Yes.
Or love is going to bring us together. We have no other choice, right? Because we have to find common things, because they're attacking us in so many different areas. The attack is coming from so many different fronts that we have to come together and love one another. And once we get back to loving one another, everything else, I think, is going to be okay. And
it
one
does.
Of the big things that we have to do is we have to connect with our brothers and sisters all throughout the diaspora. We have to connect with them. And one of the main things that I'm doing is focusing on is bringing products from Africa to benefit them and also benefit us here in America, because we need to make these economic ties with these countries and states overseas. We need to have diplomatic and all the economic ties with them for a lot of different reasons, right? I don't want to go into detail in all of them, but with these economic ties and building relationships economically, it brings friendship, relationship, and fellowship. Yeah, sometimes you have to sit down and break bread with people. This is exactly what we're doing. We're going over there. We're breaking bread. We're building relationships. Now we're setting up businesses. And it's a mutual, it's benefiting everybody, them and us. I appreciate y'all. If y'all want to get in contact with me as far as products, because we have hair products, we're trying to take our hair industry back from the Chinese and Asians. There's no reason that they are dominating this as far as the products. Why are the Asians dominating this market? And
come
it's
on.
For African Americans. Like, why do we go to them for everything? Why not let's get African products that's for our hair, that's for our body, right? We have kinky hair. We have curly hair. They have kinky curly hair over there. So obviously if they have products that they've been using for thousands of years for their hair, obviously,
hello,
we might need to use these same products also. So let's build relationships and let's take our economy back, man. You know, we spend a lot of money. So let's start spending it in the right places to benefit us, right? You know, that's all I wanted to say. I don't want to joke too much in here.
Brother Stewart, let me just say from the bottom of my heart, I'm more than appreciative that you came on this line tonight. I wrote your phone number down because I'm going to be calling you, actually. I would love to have you back as a guest, and we can continue a building conversation with the family and for the family, because, like you said, it's so relevant. I myself have been to Africa over 6 times. Every single time I go, I don't want to come back home. I love being there. I love my brothers and sisters throughout the diaspora. I'm a Caribbean, West Indian, Dominican, African-American woman, and I already know that our diaspora, which is a word I learned when I was like 3 years old, is vast, and that we're so powerful and so beautiful. And even though these negative forces seek to exterminate and eliminate us from the face of the earth, I will say it again on tonight, that they cannot do so without their own demise. If you seek to get rid of and eliminate black people, and they're doing it, but still in all, there's a lot of us still left here, all you're going to get is what you gave, and won't nobody be here. So they better back it up, is what I'm saying.
You know, Dr.
I know
Cobble
people always transcend over evil.
Sorry, but look, Dr. Cobble comment, he got a
yes,
lecture where he talks about He used to be called Booker T. Coleman. He have a lecture where he talks about
Coleman,
how he have a lecture where he talk about how the parents let the children lead, because if not, the world would have been destroyed. So the parents, meaning the Africans, mm-hmm. were smart enough and wise enough to let the Europeans, who are our children,
mm-hmm.
run the world, because if not, the world would have been destroyed. We was wise enough to understand to let them be in charge for a little while, and then eventually it's going to come back to us because their time is going to be up. He have a lecture. He details this in length about if we would have went to war back then, they would have destroyed the entire, they would have destroyed humanity. But we were smart enough and wise enough to know to let them lead, because their time was going to be up eventually, and we will be back on top. He got a lecture. He talked about that, and it's very, very enlightening lecture.
Right. I mean, I kind of understand what you're talking about, because even with regard to the 6,000-year reign, if you will, of the melanin recessive individuals, and how, you know, they were to, quote-unquote, have dominion over Earth for 6,000 years, but that 6,000 years is up now. So moving back into this consciousness, I think that is why they are playing the games that they're playing with the coronavirus and the tenderoni shot and all this kind of stuff, because they know it's over, and so they're trying to find some kind of way to just hang on and just be there. And I'm like, look, boo-boo, as we very well know with anything in life, when your time is up, boo-boo, your time is up.
Yeah.
Okay, you got to learn how to let it go. You got to let it go. And it doesn't mean that by letting it go that you poof, that you disappear. No. No, 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 no. Actually, I feel that the letting go goes to what you're speaking about in terms of us regaining our power and divine control over the planet that we once had for millennia. And that's why we've got to continue to stand on our square. If y'all aren't standing on your square, find the square and stand on it. Find your foundation so that you can stand strong. We always make jokes. You can't build a house on sand. It's difficult. Not a house. You can build a temple. A regular house is kind of hard because it shifts, and you've got all kind of stuff happening, and eventually it's going to crumble. So you've got to make sure your foundation is strong. With us, we need to literally become the four corners of that square to continue to support each other. So we can rely on each other, and we can make it through this for all of humanity for the millennia to come. Because we got to hope we got to. And I know that we're going to lose a few along the way. We know this already. We're seeing it. But individuals and entities like yourself, Brother Stewart, like Dr. Wimborne, Reverend Ron, people on this line, Sister Dawn, Sister Kier, my other girl, Nay, Mary, there's a whole bunch of us, my honey Lish, there's a lot of us who are divine entities who do not seek harm and negativity on any other individual. Okay, we're moving in light. So I commend you, Brother Stewart, for the work that you're doing with our brothers and sisters in the motherland, and for bringing together the diaspora so that we can thrive and strive and really, really override, if you will, this particular matrix and this conundrum that we're in. You know, I thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Again, like I said, I got your number. I'm going to be calling you. So when you get a number from a 917-678, that's going to be me. You know, we need this. We need this.
I look forward to the call, Queen.
Wonderful. I mean, I thank you so much. And thank you, Reverend, for highlighting Brother Stewart in these last minutes. You know, we done gone overtime, but I always tell
him. He's a blessing.
Oh, I love it. I think it's phenomenal, and it's more of what we need to do. And again, I'm going to also add, if you need me to do anything, I will be happy to. Okay? So we're going to talk and build on the side. But and I have other constituents who probably would be interested in joining forces because the time is now. You know, my friends and I used to have a cute little saying talking about if not us, then who, and if not now, then when. So I'm like, let's go. Let's go. Straight fire. Let's go. Because we don't have time to dilly-dally, as my mother would say. We must continue to be proactive, and we got to go hard. You know, I would say go hard or go home. So you know, that's a part of my mission. I'm just elated to have somebody like you on the show tonight, because when I have these conversations with people about other individuals doing magnanimous things for the family and for the diaspora, they're like, well, where they at? Who are they? We don't know who they are. How come they ain't on TV? And I'm like, you're going to stop all that talk with me. Okay? Because it's not going to be televised, baby. Not just yet. You know what I'm saying? We got work to do. All right? Like all the tens of thousands and millions of little ants under our feet every day, building, building, building. We don't see them, but they're building. All right?
Yes,
it's time.
Yes,
we got to do this. This is our charge.
And it's a big group that I haven't even mentioned to none of y'all yet that actually I'm a part of that's been doing it for about 20 years. It's underground.
Come on now, Stuart. Tell them, Stuart.
Bring
you gotta
it.
You got a half a million people behind him.
It's
underground. Come on now. We know how to be a half a million at once.
It's underground for a reason, though, but
okay, well, we'll talk about it.
It's a lot going on, man. Everything ain't meant to be told, you know what I'm saying? But it's a lot going on, family. And, you know, just know it's a lot going on, especially in Ghana. In Ghana, it's a lot going on. Also on Gambia. Gambia is another spot. Gambia is probably like 15 years behind Ghana. So Gambia is a spot where if you're trying to look to purchase land, like if you look at the studies, and I don't want to, you know, y'all know I talk a lot, but I'm trying not. But if you look at the studies, all the studies say by the year 2050 and by the year 2100, Africa is going to have the most people. They're going to pass India as far as the top population of people in the continent. It's going to be on Africa. The median age by 2100 is going to be 18. So that means that the median age is going to be 18. So that means the youth are going to be the median age. In America, at that same time, by the year 2100, our median age is going to be about 42. So when your median age lets you know who's running the world. So basically they're saying by the year 2100, Africa is going to be running the world because the youth is the ones that create and keep things going forward. They're already predicting this. They also say by the year 2050, by the year 2050, I think, I forgot the population for Africa, but it's going to be about double. So I'm saying this to say this, is that we know the future is back on the motherland, where a lot of these countries have land for sale that's dirt cheap.
Yep.
If the land and the countries, they're not developed yet. So that means you can get the land for a cheap price.
Mm-hmm.
And be developing, so 10, 15 years down the road, once it's developing to a Ghana, Ghana won't like this 20 years ago.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So just like that, Gambia is one that's up and coming. So, like, if you get this land early and start building now, 10 to 15 years, 2050, 2060, you will be right in the middle of what's going on and be prepared to take advantage and help our brothers and sisters. See, we have the skills here in America. We have the skills. We've been here for a long time getting all the skills, all the necessary tools that they need on the continent to build. The problem is we over here and not helping them build over there. Just like we left, they brought us over here. It's time for us to return, but not give up America also. We don't give up America because we built America. America's ours also. But we need to return also. Return to help them build, because if we don't help them build, the Chinese going to build it up. The Indians going to build it up. If we don't have Africa build, other countries, other demographics or race of people are going to build them up. But they will prefer if it's us. I'm telling you what I know on the ground. They are waiting for us. They have always been waiting for us to come back home and help build them up. They have always been waiting for this to happen. The thing is that disconnect that we've been having, wherein we don't want to go over there, or when they come over here, they don't treat us right. It's a lot of stuff that you have to deal with to play, the body parts being chopped up. But the bottom line is this. Africa is for sale. They want us to come help build it up. The question are we going to do it, or are we going to let other people do it? That's just it is just one way or the other. There ain't no other way to slice the cake. Either we gonna go over there and help them build, or the Chinese gonna keep raping them like they're doing right now. You know, in Ghana, 90% of all their gold sales, the French government get 90% of all the money they make off gold. But guess what? It's so much gold that they don't even care, because the regular people, let me tell you, they got villages. All they do is mine gold.
Right, I know. Yes, indeed. And they wear it all over their body and in their hair. Yeah. They got dust.
It's abundance of it to the point where the regular people can mine gold, and it's separate from what they sell. It's called the black market. It's not illegal, though. When you hear black market, you think illegal, but it's not illegal over there to have a black market gold. It's not illegal in Africa.
Right.
And the black market gold is so much bad that 90% they give them to France, they don't even care. They don't care because there's so much more there. It's like, yo, are we going to go there and help these folks? That's what I'm like, y'all. Let's go help them, man. They begging y'all. Y'all just don't know. Once you go over there, especially if you go up north, get away from down south, go up north into the heart of Africa, and you'll see, man, they wait and they begging. And when you go there, it's like, yo, help us out. We going to help you. We going to build a relationship. You know, you got to get over the little problems here and there, because you got problems. You know what I'm saying? We feel like they sold us. Y'all turned y'all back on us. You know what I'm saying? They feel like, well, we just stole you. It was other people. So you got to get over that. But once you get over that and get down to the meat and potatoes, they want us to help build. And that's what I'm doing, man. That's what we're doing. We building with them. Y'all don't know, I'm hooked up with a lot of people. I don't want to say too much, man, because, you know, we live in a powerful country where they can shut you down real quick. But just know that it's a lot of work that's being done, family, a lot of work. And it's just waiting for the rest of everybody to jump on board, man. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful, family.
I dig it. I mean, I really thank you for sharing this tonight. You know, I've had this argument and this discussion with a lot of people here in this country, and they want to talk about Africans don't like us and Africans this and Africans that. And I'm like, well, when the last time you went? And, of course, the hush falls upon the crowd because they never go. I'm like, I've never had that experience in Africa. I've had one slightly negative experience in Africa when I was in Morocco, and I was like, I was robbed. But I wasn't robbed at gunpoint or anything like that. Some of the things that I was buying for souvenirs and what have you, one of our guides, he was a part of the market, and so he basically stole the stuff that I bought to give back to the people who own the market, so that he would get money for that. That was the one negative experience I've ever, ever had in Africa. And I've been to Morocco twice. I've been to South Africa several times. I've been to Nigeria. So I've never had that. And I saw that, I mean, I was able to make friends instantly, whether it was the bartender, whoever, just men, women, the children. Everybody was loving and embracing and kind, and they would always give me a hug. I mean, when I first went to South Africa, I cried every day in joy, because everywhere I went, I was loved. I was welcomed in a way that I'd never been welcomed here in America, ever. They were like, oh, they would realize I was from the States, and they were like, oh, welcome home. Welcome home to Mama Africa. Welcome home. And I would be like, oh, my, and they would hug me. And I was like, it was the most powerful, loving, beautiful feeling ever. And I would cry at night when I got back to my hotel room, because I was overwhelmed with the love, and they weren't trying to get money from me or exploit me or do anything or harm me or steal from me, nothing like that. It was just genuine. And so many times I continue to hear, and I know in our own oustery, okay, in our own story, that those particular chiefs and those leaders at that time of the slave trade, they were lied to. They were lied to. They were told that the people who were going on those ships were going to go to a new world for new jobs and new life and building up a new infrastructure, and that we'd be safe and we'd be protected and we'd be cared for. And it was all a lie. They didn't just willfully give us up. Don't think, and I try to tell the family all the time, don't think they were just lulled into some false sense of whatever, alcohol and what have you, and they were just laying drunk, and then we were just gone. They would just allow them to take us. They never allowed them to take us in the way that we were taken. And a lot of them fought, and they lost their lives for it.
There you go. You hit it right on the head. A lot of villages and tribes got killed.
Yep.
Boga Tonga, actually Boga, my drink, Boga, it was a female woman, a female warrior that drove them out of Boga from capturing slaves, you know. So they did not know exactly all of it, but some of them was complicit also. And that's something that we got to be honest about. I love my people, but some of them was complicit with it. Some of them actually knew what was going on, and they was capturing them, especially like when you deal with Ghana, you deal with the South, the God tribe. The tribes down south was actually helping the Portuguese collect and capture the slaves up north. But they did not know the type of slavery that they would be persecuted to. They did not know that, but they knew that they were being sold as indentured servants, you know. But, you know, that's something that we have to get over, though. We have to get over it and move past it. Some of them was complicit, and now you have – and the thing is, whenever you go anywhere, like if you go to a different state, you got people in different states that are trying to get you. So no matter where you go in life, you got to get around thorough. Your vibration, you speak about energy. You were speaking about energy, right? So you usually whenever you go somewhere – I'm the type of person, I attract a certain type of energy toward me, but that's the energy I'm giving out. I attract what I give. So I've been blessed that when I travel, I attract thorough people with me that has the same type of mindset. So I have brothers on the continent with me that speak the language. So if anybody try to overcharge us or they try to, because they don't try to treat you like a tourist. They don't try to treat you like a tourist and overcharge you. But if you have some thorough people with you, they're going to tell them, no, you don't treat the African Americans like that. No, you treat the Chinese like that. Or you treat the white man like that. But you don't treat our brothers like that. This is the type of people that I'm with. That when I go there, it's none of that. No, you're going to treat us wrong. No, you're going to treat them like you treat us. Because this is our family. You know, these are our distant cousins. We want them to come back, you know, and we want them to do business. And I just want to tell y'all, the same way we are messed up over here about them, they are messed up
over there.
You know what I'm saying? So they done a good job of keeping us separated and divided. But
So we could be conquered.
The thing is, social media is changing it, though. They have cell phones. People think they don't have cell. Listen, they got cell phones in the village.
They
got Wi-Fi.
They got Wi-Fi, baby.
They look at that, what's going on YouTube. So they seeing. So now they get to see true African Americans. They don't get to just see the ones on TV the way they make us look. They actually get to interact with us now. So now the real are recognizing the real. You're connecting with certain people now, and you're realizing, hey, we ain't – I'm going to tell y'all, when I was in Africa, it was like that. I was there for 48 hours a day. It was like – it was the – time was like 48 hours. It's like I was enjoying myself so much to the point it felt like the 48 hours days.
Mm-hmm.
And like she said, I got nothing but love, nothing but genuine love from everyone, like from everyone to the point we got a movement called One Love that I've started. This is my personal movie that I've started with some brothers in Africa called One Love. It's like, they're just waiting, family. They are waiting, and the opportunity is for us there to really go there. And the thing is this, man, all the tricks that they have played on us in America, they are trying to play them tricks on them in Africa now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just tell y'all right now. They are playing the same tricks that they played on us in America, they are now trying to play it on them on the continent. This is why we must go back.
They're
going to recolonize that continent unless we go back, because we already done been through all the tricks. You can't play the games on us because we know all the games.
Exactly.
We done survived all y'all games, and we still here. Everything y'all put us through, we still striving. Regardless today, if we get a job and make $7.25 an hour, we winning because we're surviving. Like, after the ordeal that we have been through, we're not supposed to be here talking like this no more. We're supposed to be beat down and gave up. Man, we're supposed to be dead. And I'm talking
dead
about
and
as far as not trying to fight back then. Like, we're supposed to be just complete wiped out, but we're still fighting.
Come on.
We're fighting. So
come on now.
That means we cannot allow them to go over there and recolonize their minds. And this is why they love the fact and the group of people that I come with, because we letting them know, kick these folks out. The Chinese, get them out these gold mines. Get them out of here. We're going to bring this money and give y'all what y'all need. Y'all can mine these gold. Like, we going to sponsor y'all. Like, let's get them out of here. And they want it, family. You know, I'm sorry, y'all. Listen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just talk like this, but.
Oh, you're not, and you're not sorry. You're not sorry. Ain't nobody sorry on this show. Listen,
okay.
Everything that you had to come on and speak about with great intent was all for purpose. Like, seriously, there's no mistakes. This was real. We needed to hear this tonight. You know, I love it absolutely because I don't necessarily have a lot of people in my circle who have been to the motherland as often as yourself and myself. So it's a breath of fresh air for me, as well as the fact that even with regard to the brother that robbed me that time in Morocco, I had to beg them to not cut his hands off.
Oh,
I had mercy
see.
On him. I did not want him to be punished in that way because I understood why he was doing what he was doing anyway. And so I lectured him and I let him know how disappointed I was in him and what he did. But at the same time, I had to beg them to not cut his hands off, at which point he was very grateful to me that I didn't allow them to cut off his hands. Real talk.
Now,
I could have been like, yeah, cut him off because he da-da-da-da. No. I overstood the whole big picture. And I was like, okay, you only did what you did because, A, this is Morocco. Hello. We know Morocco is a little bit different in terms of who governs them and the mindsets that they push upon them and the conquering European aspect in Morocco and the whole nine. And he was a jet black Muslim brother.
Wow.
So I had beg them to not cut his hands off, at which point he was like, oh, my God. He was like, I didn't deserve it. He was like, you gave me mercy. I'm like, yes, because I see you. But please don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again to whoever comes over here, especially if they look like you and I look like you. So just don't do that again. You know, and he was like, he was like, shukran, shukran. He was so grateful. You know, he's prostrating the whole nine. I'm like, it's okay, but just don't do it again. If you stop, then you're all right. Just don't do that again. So we just have to look out for each other, continue to look out for each other. And again, like I said, I'm going to speak with you privately about this whole initiative that you guys are doing. Your One Love initiative is awesome to me because I always end most of my statements with One Love. My posts, I'm always saying One Love. One Love is such a huge part of me and how I vibrate. So the fact that that's the name of your movement, I'm like, oh, wait, you got my attention. And, you know, it's been refreshing to speak with you tonight. I've been pleased to go overtime a whole 27 minutes just because of you, Brother Stewart, because I have people that can still listen on the phone. Online might have got cut off, but I always encourage my real listeners to call in because we go longer on the phone. So I just really appreciate it, and I want to speak with you again, and then I want to have you back on the show so we can continue to talk about this and expose your whole operation and plan with the family so that, you know, more and more people can become involved and we can, you know, increase this movement. I mean, I know you got a 500,000 already, but hey, what's another 500,000, okay? What's another 2 million people?
I'm thankful, y'all. I'm a very humble person. I'm very humble. I look at everybody like a chain. I keep saying it's like we all one chain, and we all just different links to a chain. So no link is more important than the other link, but as long as all the links work together, we do our job, right?
Right.
So everybody has a part and a role to play. As long as everybody just do their part and their role, we're going to keep that tire turning, and that's all we want to do. All the chain want to do is keep the tires turning.
On
a bike, you know, the chain just want to keep turning. So when you pedal, the tire turn, right? So long as the links hold up and everybody, and we all link, and that's all we're trying to do is do our own part. And I'm just trying to do my part to help
And I have a group of people with me, so just understand, I'm the one speaking, but it's a group of us. It's a lot of
no,
us.
No, I dig it.
Yeah, and we all trying to do this, and we trying to grow with everyone and take it to the next level. I have a couple professors that's like introduced me to Africa that took me over there. Maybe I get a professor. I talk to him. They get him to come and talk to y'all. I'm a doer. I just like to do. But
no, it's all good. This is what we're here for.
Let's do the work.
Yes.
It's all about helping them. Like when you go over there and you see people walking 2 miles to get water.
Come on, with no shoes on.
It's like, yo. But yet we see all these commercials on TV about help the starving children and all this and that. But feed the dogs. But what about our family over there, man? I have a nonprofit, so I've been doing this in America also. So like in America, I have a nonprofit that I'm the president of, and we have been doing this same humanitarian work where I stay at. So I just don't want people to think, oh, you're just skipping it. I've been doing it in America first. So we've been doing this in America, but now we just decided to start taking this thing on to Africa with it. But, when you see these elderly women walking and carrying water, because the women do most of the work, believe it or not.
I know.
Women do most of the work, and you see that. It was like, let's put a water well down. So we started putting water wells down. In the villages. Actually, we put a water well down in a slave camp. It's called Pico World Slave Camp. It's one of the slave camps where they used to capture the slaves, and they used to march them from Pico World all the way down to Accra, Ghana, down there to Cape Coast. That was a 3-month journey. They used to march them down there to Cape Coast. So do you have to worry about, like, the slaves that made it, the ones that didn't, if they didn't make it, like, how they just let them die. It's just so much. But the slave camp is a tourist attraction. So by us putting water well down there now we have a yearly festival because of us. So now we have a Pico World on water well festival every year in March because we went and put a water well down. So now we have started a festival in Africa every year now. It's because of us.
I love it.
Every year the festival goes on. So, like, we actually are trying to set up tours where we can take people back and forth to Ghana and take them to the slave camp and then also take them up north. So it's a lot of stuff that's going on, family. Don't let them fool y'all about vaccinations and traveling. You can travel without taking the vaccinations. Only thing you have to do is be tested. You have to just be tested. That's it. You just have to have a negative test. Once you get to Africa now, especially Ghana, I know about Ghana, but that's where I go all the time. I go to Ghana. When you get there, you just got to take another test, and you're good. You got to take a test before you come back home. But so you can travel without being vaccinated. So they was lying to us. And I've been traveling all throughout the COVID-19.
Okay,
all
come
this
on
year,
now.
I'd have been to Africa 3 times this year. February, March, April. February, March, April. Did I ain't go May? Did I go May? I'm going back in July. I'm going back next month. But I'm just telling y'all, I've been traveling. So, like, during the pandemic. So don't make them think that you can't go. You can travel, and it's real easy. And you ain't got to worry about all that COVID mess. And over there, I'm going to just tell y'all, COVID ain't real over there.
I know that's right. No, I know.
It ain't real to them. To them, it's money making. But when you talk to the people, everybody wearing no masks. Ain't nobody worried about no COVID. Everybody living, enjoying life.
Exactly. And I thank you for saying that at the end as well. And I'm thanking you again for even letting me know, because I was like, because I'm not fitting to have this particular tenderoni shot. So I was like, don't damage my international travel. And so thank you for, letting me know that that's not even a factor, and saying, because I have interest in wanting to go back over there. And I've been talking about it, with my husband-to-be, because, A, like I said, I love Africa. I love when I'm there. Also, when I do speak with you on the side, there's a brother out of Colorado who has gone to Africa many times. He also digs water wells and provides water for different villages. So I want to link you two up together as well. There's a lot of beautiful things that we can make happen, you know. And I also want to talk to you about your nonprofit because I'm also in the process of starting another nonprofit with two of my really dear sister friends, and because I'm a social worker, but I'm a teacher, you know, I'm a metaphysicist, I am a lecturer, I believe knowledge is power, and when I was last in Nigeria, I was talking to a whole bunch of Nigerians about African history, because they didn't know, you know, they've been under the cloak of colonialism. And so in speaking to them about, you know, where it all came from and how we can fight it and what we need to do to transcend it and how we need to bridge these gaps as a diaspora and love each other and respect each other and honor each other and protect each other, they were like, wow. So I want to do more of that work as well because I know that's a part of my charge. We're an amazing people. We are so amazing and so multifaceted and so beautiful. And so I just want to continue to remind us of this so that we can build and grow and take care of each other and make this world a better place. I know it sounds corny, but that's really where I'm coming from. So I thank you for being on tonight. I'm going to reach out to you. That was for you, Brother Stewart.
thank you very much. I appreciate that, ma'am. I really do. Please, Queen, I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, my brother. And hopefully, you know, well, I'll talk to you hopefully within this week coming. You know, family, we are at 9:35. We went over time, but it was absolutely beautiful. And, again, I'm grateful that we had Brother Stewart come in tonight. Thank you, Reverend Ron, for alerting me to his presence in the cachet. Thank you, Dr. Winborn, as usual, for being on and for being magnificent. The both of you are so brilliant, and this platform is so valuable. It's my honor to be your host. It's an honor to bring forth the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show, and it's an honor to share my knowledge and my wisdom with the family. Everybody have a beautiful, blessed, wonderful week ahead. Thank you all for listening. Share this episode. Invite friends and family to come on next week. God willing, we'll be back next week. Same black time, same black channel, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. plus. And I want to give a super shout-out again to my beautiful honey, Lish. If you guys are trying to find real music in your life, please, please go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL, and get your life, honey, because music is a vibration that is healing and loving. And it activates all types of portals in your body. It makes you feel good or it makes you feel bad. And the music that he puts together will make you feel fantastic and vanglorious. So please, you know, he doesn't get money for you listening. You just listen and enjoy yourself. But he creates these mixes for the family and for humanity to feel good. He makes these mixes and puts all this beautiful music together to help people feel good and to be able to make it through this matrix and come out in the sunshine. So get your life, listen to good music, reverberate as high as you can. Like I said, check your frequency. Let's stay up in them 700s, fam. Let's get up into enlightenment. At least we can be love 500 and move up from there. Remember that your crown chakra and your throat chakra, none of those upper chakras can open if your heart chakra is closed. So keep your heart chakra open. Learn how to trust. Love yourself first. Love yourself hard. Know that there's nobody else like you and that you are beautiful and divine all on your own and that God kisses you all day, every day as you breathe in and out and know that everything about you has a purpose and has intent. Shine your light. Be good. Be good, family. It's really not that hard. Be good. All right, and let's love one another so we can make some real beautiful magic happen here, okay? Again, I am Queen Amina. I'm happy to be your host. This was the Black Alice and Wonderland Radio Show, and God willing, I'll see you next week. Have a beautiful and blessed week ahead, all right? Stay fantastic and amazing, all right? And always remember, y'all, to breathe, okay? Love you. Peace. One. peace, fam. Good night.